Scripture reading for this evening's lesson will be read from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. For those of you reading from the Bibles from underneath the benches, that's page 1078. Again, that's 1 Peter, chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifest grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Am I on?
Yes, you're on. Okay.
It's good to see everybody tonight. Is there a mic up here? Or? Okay. I don't know if you guys had a lapel. Can you hear me good here? Also, turn your Bibles to John chapter 4. I'm going to be using that passage this morning as well. It's so good to be here this morning. Scott has befriended me. We have a common friend in Bill Hopkins. You know Bill Hopkins? He's a preacher down in Cincinnati. And I worked there for a year as I helped plant and start a campus ministry there back in 05 and 06. And so I got to know Bill, and Bill introduced me to Scott, and we've become friends. And it's nice this summer being able to, exchange pulpits on Sunday, in the Sunday evening. It's been good. I've done it with a few of the churches already. And so good for Scott to be able to come and speak to the brothers and sisters at Van Huber. I appreciate that. Because we're one family. Amen. And we need to know that we're one family, that we're together. We have unity in Christ. And we're not competitive at all with one another, but your success is our success. And our success is your success as well. And because we're all sub the one Lord. There you go. Thanks.
Is it already on?
Alright. I'm a mover when I talk, so make sure everybody can hear me good.
All right, is that on? It's working good? All right, getting thumbs up. So so this morning, I want to discuss a couple of verses here. The first one in John chapter 4, as we look at the Samaritan woman. As we get into that, has anybody here been watching the World Cup any? You know, that's been going around a few people a little bit. Well, you know, the U.S. were out of it, unfortunately. If you haven't been watching it, you're too late. You've missed it. We're already out. But we did pretty good. We got to the final 16. So that's exciting. Now, something that all the teams do, you know, they're usually supported by people from their own country. You know, they travel and go to the games that their country is playing. It's exciting. And something, if you've been watching the games, that all the American games have had, the American fans have been chanting or encouraging their team by saying, "I believe we will win," and they've been doing it. Have you heard that in watching the game? "I believe we will win." You know, they do that. "I believe we will win," and it's really encouraging. It may be a little obnoxious, or you know, if you're supporting the other team, and maybe a little haughty, especially considering that we're not the best team. You know, it's very confident, isn't it? Say, "I believe we will win." If you're playing somebody in a sport, and the other team was saying that, you'd be like, "Well, wait a second, you know, I may have something to say about that." And but we're trying to be very confident in that. Although our coach, he's German descent, you know, he said before it all started that we're definitely not going to win the World Cup. You know, that's not something you hear from your coach, you know, before things get started. Just let you know we're not going to win. But our fans, the American fans, are very positive, and they've been chanting that, I believe we will win. So I'm going to be talking about that and thinking about that through this lesson this morning, tonight. Through this lesson tonight. And so here in John chapter 4, what's going on here? Obviously, you know this passage. You've heard lessons on this passage before. This is the passage about the Good Samaritan, the Samaritan woman. And so look at here with me in John chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 4 through 9. And he, that's Jesus, had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman?" For Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. Okay, so you have Jesus here. He is by this well. It's about, they say, the sixth hour. Now, if you know how the Jewish clock works, that's about noon. All right, they start at daylight and they count from there. So it's about noontime, and Jesus is here at the well. Now, something I notice immediately is that Jesus is hanging around in public places. And he doesn't shy away. He doesn't shy to stay away from people. He's in the community. You know, he's tired from traveling, and so he's there by the well. And like most places back then, the well was a very important place. That's where people go get their daily water. And usually people went in the mornings and evenings. Obviously, that's when it's not so hot. But this lady's coming in the middle of the day. Why do you think she's coming in the middle of the day? Personally, this is my interpretation of looking at it. She was of ill repute. You know, people knew that she had multiple husbands in the past. And so she probably didn't want to come when it was busy. People probably give her the evil eye, the stink eye, however you said that as a kid, and maybe gossiped or talked about it a little bit. And so she was coming in the heat of the day, so she probably wouldn't run into other people. But she did run into other people. She ran into our King, our Lord Jesus, is right there. Now Jesus, being around in public places, and he did this often. You know, in chapter 2 of John, he was at a wedding, and later on he was at a temple. You know, both of those are pretty famous events. But he was in society. How are we doing in being in society? You know, sometimes people strive to pull back and not get in society. Especially if it's not a positive thing to be in society. You know, some people gauge by their success how little involvement they have to have with other people. Have you noticed that before? Some people even buy all their Christmas gifts online. You can even buy your groceries online now and get them shipped to your home. You don't even have to intermingle with other people. And some people, they like that. And that's a goal for them to not have to intermingle with other people as much. But Jesus was not that way. Not that he didn't buy things online. But Jesus, I believe, like if he was here today, he would have gone to some Fourth of July activity. He would have been in society. Not trying to pull back, just try to stay home, only get together with a select few people. But he's in society. He's willing to have conversations with other people. And here, he started a conversation with this Samaritan woman. How do we do with that? Are we involved in society? Do we talk with other people? Now, obviously, why did Jesus talk with this person right here? I believe with every conversation that Jesus had with people, it was intentional with the goal of trying to get people closer to God. He could bring water, simple water, and make a great spiritual illustration with that. and talks about living water and talks about how she needs to come to God. What do we do? If someone talks to us, we're in a public place, we're like, okay. Why are you even talking to me? We're thinking that. And here's Jesus starting the conversation with a woman, a Samaritan woman. And we can see that that's maybe not usual. Because when the disciples came back, we see there in verse 27, the disciples were surprised that he was talking with a woman. And a Samaritan woman of all that. So Jesus didn't let social boundaries get in his way in talking with other people. How do we do with that? Hopefully we're willing to cross cultural boundaries to talk with people. And also be intentional as Jesus was, be intentional with our conversations and relationships in order to bring people closer to God. Okay? So looking at here, this deep well that Jesus was at, he talks to this woman. And of course we know the Samaritan issues, they had a different theological look at things about what mountain to worship on, but Jesus didn't let that get in the way either. He's willing to talk to this person. Why? Once again, with that idea of, I believe we will win. I believe Jesus thought that. Who's we? Who's we in that phrase, I believe we will win? For Jesus, it was him, the Trinity, and the person he's talking with. I believe if I bring God in any conversation, that people are going to be blessed by that. Right? I hope, my goal is to, when I speak with people, if I have a relationship with people, my goal is to bring them closer to God. What is your goal in the relationships that you have with other people? Do you have relationships with people that you meet with at the Y, at Kroger, at Walmart? I like to go to the same places so I can build those relationships. You know, I go to Aldi's, you know, in Huber and Inglewood and try to meet the same people. And then when I lived in Russia, in Siberia, I'd go to the same cheese lady. You know, some people sell cheese, some people sell meat. And I would meet this lady, talk to her a little bit, and eventually invite her over to my apartment and share Christ with her. You know, build that relationship. Be intentional. Just don't try to go through life with as little conversation and eye contact with as people as possible. A lot of people try to do that. I don't believe Jesus was that way. I believe Jesus was trying to looking at people all the time. Looking at who's open to the gospel, who's open to God. And he wants to talk to them. Now, if we are truly being transformed into the image of Christ, then surely we should do that as well. We should be looking for having conversations, not just to have a good relation, but in hopes of bringing them closer to God. Helping them to get one more step closer to God in some way. So, I believe this starts with just our mentality, with an attitude. Because no one's going to, you know, just wake up one day and find out, you know what, I'm in 5 relationships and bringing people closer to God. You have to be intentional about it. You have to think about it. What relationships am I in? What can I have to help people to get closer to God? Think about it. Plan your day accordingly. When you're at the Y, I'll just use that as an example. How many people go to the Y here? All right, 3. Okay. Or wherever place you go to, wherever place you frequent. You think about, okay, I want to make an effort. If I see the same person consistently, talk to them. Get to know them. Get to know something that's going on in their life and follow up with it the next time you see them. You find out that they had a cold one day. The next time you see them, oh, how's that cold coming along? All right? It's very practical because we need to be about getting in people's lives. At work, hopefully you see the same people there all the time. And you can get in people's lives there. I truly believe that Jesus did that. Now, of course, Jesus was the Son of God, God himself, and he could say things about this lady that there was no way that any of us would ever know. Alright? So, he was special in that way. We can't go up to people if we see him at Aldi's and say, Yeah, you're not buying just popcorn for yourself, but for your sick husband. You know, we can't do things like that. But we can talk to him and find out what's going on. We can be open about the things that's happening in our lives and share what's going on. And that's good. And so going back to that idea of Jesus using simple water and bringing a spiritual implication of that. Was water in itself spiritual? No, not at all. Jesus used it and made a spiritual implication about it. Holy people can make things holy. God, our God is a holy God. He can make anything holy. I believe Jesus, he could use a broom and use it to glorify God. He could use it, you know, sweep up the area and use it as a metaphor. You know, just like I'm sweeping up the place here, you need to let the Spirit of God sweep out the uncleanness in your life. But, wow, Jesus, that's great. Now, is that obvious to everybody who looks at a broom? Of course not. But because of God in us and Jesus in us, he uses us so we can make spiritual implications about everything that's around us. Because we are spiritual beings. I believe we are spiritual beings. We're created in this body, this husk, for a time being, but we're going to shed this husk and go on, of course, to our new home up in heaven. I truly believe that. And if we look at things that way, I believe that will help us. So with the simple water analogy, this woman is amazed and she went and talked to other people, which that's how the Spirit of God works. You plant a seed in people. You don't know who is receptive or not. Usually the people that I thought were not receptive turn out to be the most receptive people. I don't know if you've had those experiences in life as well, but that's happened to me. There's a guy that we have a softball team, and I know you guys have a softball team as well, and we were short a guy, and there's a friend of mine at church. I don't know him well at all, but he's kind of young, kind of athletic. I said, hey, you want to play softball with me? And he has sleeve tattoos. You know what that is? That means you have tattoos on all the way on your sleeves. Right? And I said, hey, do you want to play softball with us? And he did. He played, and he told me that he just had a new baby 2 weeks ago. He says, once things settle down with the baby, he and the family are going to come to church. You know? Looking at him, you wouldn't have thought that guy is receptive to the gospel at all. But who's the judge? What God has been doing on people's hearts in the past. You know, we can look at a lady or a young man or anybody, maybe someone in a time at home and thinking, oh, they're not open to the Lord, and I don't want to waste their time. I don't want to waste my time. We shouldn't make those judgments. We don't know who God is working on. We don't know what God has been doing in this Samaritan woman's life before Jesus talked to her. Might have been working on her for years, getting her ready for this opportunity to talk to Jesus. I'm sure that God is working on plenty of people that you're in relationship with, and he's waiting for you to talk with them. He's waiting on you to use a simple thing as a spiritual analogy, metaphor, or try to help them to think more spiritual. So coming back to 1 Peter, I appreciate you changing the passage and reading this for me. In verse 7, it says, the end of all things is near. Now, it may seem that way. It seems like some may be thinking, the end of time is coming. The end of certain things are coming, for sure, for all people. You know, there are difficult times around. I was talking with my mother-in-law. My wife lived in Ukraine 17 years before we got married. And so my mother-in-law and two brother-in-laws, they live in Ukraine in the Donetsk area. And if you don't know, Donetsk is a hot place right now for a lot of things going on. And she had me pray for her, and I was glad to do it this afternoon, a little bit before I came over here, because she's worried. She had her cousin, who is a retired colonel in the former Soviet Union Army, give her a call today and say, Russia is about to come into Donetsk. You know, tonight. And it's like, and she's worried. And he was telling us, like, get whatever you have, gold, whatever, some stuff, take it away, go away. go to Kiev or some other place. And that can be scary. Of course, she's a little unnerved about it, and a lot of the people, the pro-Russian people, have got kicked out of a couple of places, Luhansk, Luhansk, and they've gone to Donetsk right now. Now, it's one thing when you see some things on some news about some place on the other side of the world, and you have no connection about it whatsoever. It's something completely different when you have a connection to, like, family members that I have. It makes it personal. It makes it personal. And it's easy to see a God who's so far away, and this is how a lot of people see God nowadays, see God so far away, why would he care what's happening in Fairborn, Ohio, America, the earth? Because, like, I have a mother-in-law in Donetsk. Therefore, I'm concerned about what's going on there. God has all of us, his creation, everywhere. Therefore, everything that happens everywhere is personal to God. He cares so much what's happening everywhere. And that thought just kind of really struck to me. And we're blessed with so many international people around nowadays, and that people are being influenced by what's going on in the world. So it's just amazing what's going on. So here in 1 Peter 4:7, and on, he's talking about these things about how the end of time's coming, and what are you doing? Are you involved in God's ministry to reach out to people? In verse 11 it says, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterance of God. Whoever serves is to do so one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. If you're speaking and serving, then do it for the Lord. When you're talking to people, let God use you and talk to them. It's okay to talk about nonsense stuff. You want to talk about the Reds or Ohio State football or whatever it may be. The farmer's market, you know, that's part of life. You can talk about those things. But once again, we need to be intentional about bringing God, hopefully, in every relationship and helping people get closer to God. Let's not get duped, fooled to think that this life is just about surviving. It's not. This life is just not about the physical, about the doing the daily ins and outs. This life is about, what's it say there in verse 11? About glorifying God. If you're not glorifying God, then you're not meeting the reason why you were made. You're not meeting the reason why you were made. What would you say if you went over to someone's house and they had a brand new laptop computer and they were using it to keep the door open so they can go in and outside, back to the garden and back? He's like, what are you doing with this laptop? He's like, oh, you mean my door stopped? He's like, door stopped? Is it broken? He says, no, it works great. It keeps the door open all day. He's thinking, what? No. Is it broken? And you push the button and it comes on. And you notice they just bought it. He's like, don't you know what all this computer can do? He's like, well, I know it can hold the door open. You know? And you always get embarrassed to explain it to them. You can do so much with this computer. It's not just a doorstop. And I think God looks at us that way sometimes, how we use our lives. We use our lives for the simplest things, and God's thinking, I made you amazingly. I made you beautiful. I made you for so much more, and you use yourself as a doorstop just to keep things open to go one way and that way. I'm sure God is frustrated sometimes. And so looking at this passage in 1 Peter, Peter realized that every time he talked, every time he served, he wasn't just doing mundane things. He wasn't just speaking and moving things left and right. He was doing things that hopefully glorify God. If I were to talk to somebody in trouble, I'm going to lift their spirits up and try to bring them to God. Not just say things to make them watch me. We know Jesus didn't do that. Of course, people loved him, but his goal was to help them better their lives. better the lives. Hopefully we can too. So going back to this idea of, I believe we will win. I believe we can say that about our relationship with other people. Yes, it's not a soccer game, but I believe when we are in that relationship with somebody, maybe they're just next to us, or maybe they're talking about something, we're like in that arena. And the stadium is filled with angels saying, I believe we will win. And how will you win? By simply speaking to them, bringing God into the relationship, God into the conversation. By doing that, you win. It's independent on how they react. It's independent on what they decide. You can't control what they do. You win by living for God. We win by doing what God asks us to do. We can't decide for people. I just got finished having two or three studies with the family. And they made a decision last week that they couldn't come to church with us because they just didn't see the need for baptism to be essential. They agreed about so much more. They're new to the faith. They think you just need to believe. I was like, yeah, of course that's very important, but, you know, you need to get baptized. You know, you can't just say to somebody, let's get married. That's the engagement. You sure have to get married. You know, I kind of equate that with baptism. You know, you can't just decide to live with God. You need to get married with God. Go through a ceremony. Get baptized. Now, I was disheartened by that they made that decision. Could I control their decision? Obviously not. But I met them. I talked to them. I started studying with them, met with them in the home, was kind to them. Because I don't know how that's going to end. I don't know what they're going to decide. But I need to do my part. I need to do my part and talk to them. And I believe God is pleased with me because I did what I could. Did I do everything perfect? Probably not. But I did everything as good as I knew how to do it. Now, what would be the failure in that is if I never tried. I believe God sends the Holy Spirit to us all the time to convict us of conversations we need to have with people. Maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a loved one, maybe it's that person at the wherever place where you frequent, at job, at the work. And if you keep saying no to that, no, this is not the right time. No, I need to wait for the better opportunity. Then we're not allowing God to use us. And those angels that are thinking, come on, I believe we will win. If you only speak, we win. Because God would use that opportunity to glorify Him. So we need to trust God and not ourselves in that situation. This last week, in getting change, I forget where I got the change from, but I got dollar bill on it, and on it says, where's George? Has anybody ever gotten that before? And what that is you put that, you go to a website, wheresgeorge.com, and you put that serial number in, and it tells you where that dollar bill has been. So it's kind of neat. So I put that in, and it's been New Jersey and Indiana, and now it's in Vandalia, and I've already spent it. I spent it, I think, yesterday, and it's all someplace else, you know. And I wonder sometimes if God sees us that way. Where's Dave? Where's Dave been for me? And if He can just put me in and think about me and see what all I've done, where all I've been for Him, and hopefully it's a big map or it's active. Hopefully it's just not, well, came to the Lord here, and He's been idle for about 10 years. He's done other things, but He's done His things and not my things. What would pop up if God is following you, and I know He is, and says, what have you been doing for me in your life? Have you been about all of your hobbies, all of your things, all of your interests? Or have you been about me, trying to glorify me? thinking about and believing how we can win. Living for me instead of thinking how you can win, how you can better your stance in other people's relationships with other people. So that's what I wanted you guys to think about tonight. I wanted you to think about, how does God want to use you in relationship with other people? What is God trying to say to you, to your friends, co-workers, whoever it may be, family members? Don't let fear guide your life. Let God live in you, and you'll be completely blessed, so overjoyed. I don't know where you are in life. Maybe some of you have never made the decision to come to Christ. Maybe some of you or one of you has been unhealthy for a while. You need to get right. You need to get healthy with God. I call this invitation song, Time to Get Healthy Song. If you need to get healthy in any way, please come forward as we sing this song.